You are listening to live special coverage of the election of a new pope, Pope Leo XIV. Now, for the first time, an American will serve as the head of the Roman Catholic Church. Even more remarkable, Robert Prevost was born and raised right here in the Chicago area. Here with more about what you need to know about the new pontiff is Chicago Sun-Times investigative reporter Bob Hergeth. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. Also on the line with us, we've got Catholic priest Father Michael Trail of St. Thomas the Apostle Parish in Hyde Park. You'll join us later on in this program. And we're also taking your calls to get your reaction to the election of Chicagoan Robert Prevost as Pope. Our number is 866-915-WBEZ. Tell us your hopes for him as he becomes Pope Leo XIV at 866-915-WBEZ. Catholic, non-Catholic, give us a call. We want to hear all your thoughts. Bob, tell us, who is Robert Prevost?
Yeah, well, he is obviously a big surprise is who he is for a lot of people. First of all, there's never been an American pope.
Yeah.
And the pope is, just to be clear, kind of the top cleric in the Catholic Church worldwide. And the office traces all the way back to St. Peter, who was one of the 12 apostles, who, you know, walked the earth when Jesus was alive. That's sort of the history. So he's a Chicago guy, you know, southeast side Catholic grade school, Dalton, which is a south suburb, right on the edge of the city, and Riverdale and Dalton was where he kind of grew up. And as a youngster, and I've talked to people that knew him and know him, and, you know, they say he's a nice guy. He did not go the traditional route for a lot of Chicago guys, and it is just guys because only men are allowed to be Catholic priests, to go the route. He went into a religious order, which, again, kind of speaks to even a lot of Catholics, I don't think, understand the distinction that, you know, the Catholic Church is one organization, but it's, you know, comprised of multiple hundreds and hundreds of smaller organizations, including these religious orders that follow the model of a certain saint. And St. Augustine of Hippo is the model for his religious order.
Right. So, Bobby, one of the first things you mentioned to me is that this was a surprise, right? Mm-hmm. I know that even some, including Cardinal Blaise Supich, they said an American as pope, that's a long shot.
Right.
Why?
Well, it's a long shot. I mean, forever. Well, first of all, you know, the Vatican is in, I mean, it's its own city state, but it's within the city of Rome, which is in the country of Italy. And the Italian cardinals really for centuries held a lock on Pope and that position for political reasons, significantly racial reasons, and et cetera. And then in the, you know, when I was a child, they had a Polish-born pope, Pope John Paul II, and who was credited with, and there was sort of a purpose to that because at the time there was communism in Russia and the Cold War and the Iron Curtain, and it was a very political, at least the way I saw it, a political kind of choice because he could counter this sort of narrative of communism. So, and one of the things that pope is credited with doing is really helping fuel the freedom movement, solidarity movement in Poland, which challenged the authority of the Communist Party and the Russian influence and blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, perhaps here what this is similarly a political statement, although on the state of America and the Western world, maybe even the Trump administration in some ways, you know, it's too early for us to say that, but it's very interesting. I did not necessarily think there would be an American pope, but I did think that if there was one, it would be this guy.
Yeah. Let's bring in Father Trail. As I mentioned, Catholic priest Father Michael Trail of St. Thomas the Apostle Parish in Hyde Park is with us. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Give us your reaction to the election of a Chicago area native as the next leader of the Roman Catholic Church.
I am over the moon. Today is a joyous day, I think, for the life of the church in general, but also, too, for us in St. Thomas in Hyde Park. I was joking with my staff earlier today that Hyde Park has produced a president and a pope, you know, Pope Leo XIV, who went to Catholic Theological Union on Cornell, and
yes.
You know, that falls within the parish boundaries. And so that's a great honor for us to know that, you know, he lived in our neighborhood and, you know, he's a Southsider as well, so we have a good connection. So I'm really over the moon today.
That's right. I hadn't even thought of that Hyde Park connection, Father, until you said it. You know, I'm curious what you would say about this moment. What are the most pressing needs for the church right now here in Chicago or beyond?
Yeah, I think just continuing the legacy of Pope Francis, and I think Pope Leo is going to do that, is just being a pope of a listening pope and a pope that's with the people. And if you remember his first statement when he got out onto the loggia, Pope Leo talked about that, how we're going to continue to be a synodal church that listens with the people and just brings the message of Christ's love to every single aspect and facet of life. And I think he's going to be a pope that brings, you know, his first words right out of the gate were peace be with you, where he mirrors the words of the Lord after the resurrection. And I think this pope is going to be a pope of peace, and I pray that he is a pope of peace for the entire world.
You mentioned that you were talking with some folks about this. Give us more on the reaction from people in your congregation on the news.
Oh, everyone is just, they're so excited. I mean, a flurry of text messages and Instagram DMs and everything else in between on our social media accounts of, oh, you know, just is he a Cubs fan or a Sox fan? Is he this or that? You know, I think people are just proud to have a local connection.
Yeah.
Very often, I think people think of a pope as like a European figure or somewhere across the globe. Obviously, a global figure, certainly. But for us here in Chicago, to realize that he had like local connections and people knew him and grew up with him, and that's just, it adds a whole level of excitement.
Yeah. Well, despite being a Southsider, I am hearing, Father, that he's a Cubs fan.
I have heard that too, but you know, it's still Chicago at the end of the day, so love is love, I guess.
Love is love, absolutely. And joining us now from Rome is Mary Fiorito, an attorney and former top aide to Cardinal George, the late predecessor to Cardinal Blaise Supich, the Archbishop of Chicago. Earlier today, Mary was in St. Peter's Square. Thanks for checking in with us, Mary.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
You'll recall I had you on this program on Easter Monday. This was after Pope Francis's death. And when we talked, you said at the time that you were praying that the Holy Spirit spoke through the cardinal's votes. Does it feel to you, Mary, like that happened?
Oh, I mean, for sure. There was so much prayer surrounding this entire week of the meetings leading up to the conclave and then the conclave itself. You probably saw there were special masses that were held. There were novenas of different rosaries going on. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for sure, this was surrounded by prayer. And it's just an incredible day for Chicago. I can't tell you how excited the Chicagoans that I have spoken with are that, you know, we can't be called the second city anymore, I don't think, because take that, New York, is what I wanted to say. But I was worried he was a Sox fan. That was my greatest fear. But I'm really relieved to hear he's a Cubs fan. And already I was just took a quick look at Twitter and oh my gosh, the memes that are going around.
Oh, yes.
They're just hilarious, you know, so with the you know, the Bears super fans. And I mean, it's just,
oh,
anyway,
yes.
It's a great day.
Chicago
you,
Pope.
Yes.
Yeah, hey,
yes.
Mary.
And so, so this is wonderful. And, you know, there was a lot of talk about Cardinal Prevost. He was a very, I think a very prominent person in terms of the candidates when they were being analyzed. But I think everybody kind of dismissed it very quickly. First, as I think Bob mentioned, because he was an American, but secondly, because he'd only been a cardinal for about 3 years. And so it was those two things combined that I thought people kind of said, well, maybe, but maybe not this time, right? And he's also quite young, right? He's only 69 years old, which is young as far as popes go.
Right.
And so it's not that he wasn't a serious candidate. It's just that people thought, oh, but maybe these other factors will just ultimately weigh against him, but turned out not to be the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you were on the program a couple weeks ago, Mary, you sort of laid out for me what this process would be like and how many days it would take and so forth. Prevost was elected in 2 days after four ballot voting sessions. Is that typical? How long was it last time for Francis?
Right, it would have been five ballots because there was a vote last night. And then there were two blocks of votes today. So there were two votes in the morning and then there's two votes in the afternoon. So they came to the two thirds pretty quickly. I mean, in modern times, it's not likely that a conclave is going to go more than 3 days, maybe four at the most. I think some people were expecting it might be tomorrow, mostly because the cardinals that were voting, what we call the cardinal electors, came from just parts of the world that have never had cardinals before. I mean, we had them from Sweden and from Tonga, you know, from every continent in the world except Antarctica. So they didn't really know each other. And it was thought that perhaps that particular factor would weigh into the time, but they seem to have gotten the work done a lot more quickly than a lot of people had anticipated.
Yeah. What was it like in St. Peter's Square earlier?
Oh my goodness, I can't even ex describe it. I was with a couple of my colleagues, and we were at a restaurant right on the Via Borgo, and so right near St. Peter's, just taking a break after having been in the square most of the day. And we were just about to order, and we looked down at our phones, and it said white. My phone said white smoke from one of my kids, and so we just jumped up.
Yeah.
We said to the waiter, "Bianco fume," and everybody just ran out of the restaurant. People were just running down the street, and the Italian police were kind of trying to direct the crowds, but just
Wow.
excitement and joy. And it was just like a sea of humanity running towards St. Peter's Square. And then, of course, you get there, and then a very moving moment. The Swiss Guard, who are the force that protect the Holy Father, the Pope, they are sort of for the 1 week every 15 years, they don't have a job to do because there's no Pope to protect. And so they reassemble, and then they form a procession. They march, a military march, up to the front of St. Peter's, and they take their posts on either side of that door that you see, the loggia, and they process up there, and then in a military formation, kind of do a salute. And so that's when you know
Yes.
there is a new pope to protect.
Something's
And
about to
that,
happen.
oh my goodness, it's so moving to see it in person. And when I worked for Cardinal Bernardino, and then when I worked for Cardinal George, I had worked a couple of different papal conclaves, but always from the Chicago side.
Right.
So to be there in person and see it and just feel the excitement. And then when the words Habemus Papam, we have a pope, Fratelli and Sorelle, Habemus Papam, brothers and
Yes.
sisters, we have a pope, the cheers, it really is something that, if you're Catholic, it should be on your Catholic bucket list. And even if you're not Catholic, it really should, it's
Right,
something
right.
that everybody should experience, that kind of joy and really unity. Everyone just filled with joy for this moment.
For sure. Before I let you go, because I know it's getting late there, you are an attorney long involved in the anti-abortion movement, Mary.
Yes.
What are your thoughts when it comes to this selection of provost?
Yeah, well, what's interesting, one of my friends sent me a Twitter post that her husband had put up talking about, I don't know whether to call it X or Twitter these days, but a post that the Holy Father, when he was Cardinal Prevost, had reposted. And it was about Illinois's, I believe, the abortion funding bill. And he had reposted this article from the Catholic Press encouraging, Illinois' General Assembly to not to f publicly fund abortions. I think that was the topic. So, it's not like you're going to get a pope who will be a supporter of legal abortion or a supporter of illegal abortion for that matter. That's just simply, that would just be so outside the norm
Right.
for a Catholic that it would be, I would be, I mean, that would be stunning. That would be like saying, that there wasn't a Trinity. So it's just a fundamental truth and teaching of our
Right.
church. So I don't have, I cannot imagine in a million years he would change church teaching on that particular topic. But at the same time, every pope has its particular has his particular emphasis. And he made mention of the work and the ministry and the legacy of Pope Francis. So I
Right.
think you're going to see, because of he spent so much time in Peru serving I mean, really the poorest of the poor. I
Right.
mean, we think we know what poverty looks like in the United States. You've never seen poverty like that
Yeah.
until you've seen
Sounds like
it
he's
in
definitely going to be
Haiti.
following in Francis's
For sure.
footsteps. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's Mary Fiorito, the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. Thank you so much for checking in with us from Rome.
I appreciate your having me. Have a nice day.
You too. Before I take a couple of calls, we're standing by, Bob. I mean, you've been listening along. He's viewed as a centrist. What does that mean exactly?
I think
Just so we're
it's,
clear.
yeah, I think it's yet to be seen. I mean, first of all, one thing that Mary said to pivot off of, I mean, here's a guy that, yes, in church terms is relatively young, 69. And this pope died, he was in his 80s. I think it's to be seen kind of how he kind of moves forth, but he did rise very quickly under the Pope that just died. I mean, he went from being a bishop in Peru, to being, I believe, an archbishop, then a cardinal, you know, rapidly within a few years. So to me, what that said and says is that he was somebody who Pope Francis liked, trusted, and was sort of planting a seed for the future.
Yeah.
And I don't think that he would do that, Pope Francis, unless he viewed Bob Prevost, and you got to love a pope named Bob, right? And got to love
it. I think you're biased.
Yeah, well, maybe. And so I don't think that he would have chosen him and elevated him and put him in, and not just make him an archbishop and a cardinal, but bring him to the Vatican and put him in charge of, or somewhat in charge of, a very important department that actually, quote unquote, makes bishops, you know, and chooses them, vets them, and gives them to the Pope. Only the Pope can really appoint a bishop. But so basically planting the seed for future generations that are presumably in the mold or more in the mold of Pope Francis and a more, you know, and his sort of style.
Yeah, our producers have been taking your calls and hearing your thoughts on Chicagoan Robert Prevost being elected Pope. So let's hear from some of you now. Standing by, first up is Jeff in LaGrange. Hey, Jeff. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
What are your thoughts on the new Pope?
I am thrilled that he's from Chicago, but also it sounds like he's going to be more progressive and hopefully continue Pope Francis' work in terms of elevating women in the church and accepting everybody as Jesus taught us to do.
Yeah. Good thoughts there, Jeff. Thank you for sharing. Anthony in Northwest Indiana has been standing by. Hey, Anthony, what are your thoughts?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm thrilled because I see this as a real sign of hope. And there's a lot that's been happening in our world and in our country that has not given me a lot of hope. And so I'm excited about Leo the 14th. I'm excited that he chose that name. And I'm also sharing with him the fact that we both graduated from Catholic Theological Union.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that with us. Why are you excited about that name, Anthony? That's what you just mentioned.
Because as soon as I heard Leo the 14th, I thought of Leo the 13th, who is the Pope in I think it was 1891, wrote an encyclical, a letter to all the church on labor and the rights of workers. And so that we kind of think of him as the Pope who founded Catholic social teaching in the modern age.
Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Father Trail, you're still on the line here. What are your hopes, as we talk about hope, what are your hopes for how Prevost might lead the
church? Yeah, I think it'll be one of those situations where he'll continue to do the good work of Pope Francis, but I really love the name that he chose as well. You know, Leo the 13th, as was mentioned by the caller, he was the Pope of Catholic social teaching. And, you know, in a world where so many people are marginalized and the work is underappreciated and underutilized, it'll be really interesting to see how the new Holy Father will bring up the rights of workers and to bring dignity to those who do work each and every single day but aren't in the conditions that are humane or productive for society. So I'll be interested to see how he brings that angle and bring light to those situations.
Well, we sure appreciate you checking in with us. That's Catholic priest Father Michael Trail of St. Thomas the Apostle Parish in Hyde Park. Have a great day. Sun-Times investigative reporter Bob Hergeth, still here in studio. Bob, lots of thoughts here. Mm-hmm. You know, I want your help, though, still digging into Prevost's background. He comes from, as we brought up earlier, the Order of St. Augustine. The significance there.
Right. Well, I mean, locally, you know, again, like we said before, that the Catholic Church is one kind of monolithic organization, but it's also comprised of hundreds, if not thousands, of smaller ones.
Right.
And the Augustinian order to which he belongs operates two high schools in the Chicago region, Providence Catholic High School, which is in New Lenox, far southwest suburbs, and then St. Rita in on the south side of Chicago. So, and then they also staff at least one parish, maybe a couple, and they used to have a greater presence in the Chicago area. There are fewer and fewer priests and fewer people going to church and to Catholic schools in the old days, but they still, it's, you know, the Catholic school system in Chicago and the Chicago region is still one of the largest in the country and frankly in the world. So, you know, I mean, one of the reasons I know so much about Cardinal Prevost and the Augustinians is really due to kind of an unfortunate topic, which is child sex abuse. And,
which you covered.
Which, you know, I am not a religion reporter. I mean, I'm fascinated by religion. But I'm an investigative reporter, and I've centered a lot of my energies over the past 5 years on the sex abuse crisis and scandal, which I know a lot of people think it's over and done, and it's just not.
Yeah.
And the Augustinians, the irony here a little bit is that the Augustinians in Chicago and how they've handled this and some of the allegations that have emerged just in recent years with them is part of the reason I am completely on this topic as a journalist to begin with.
How has Prevost addressed that in the past, this decades-long sex abuse scandal?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there are critics would say he's got some baggage, not, you know, doing anything himself, but from in the oversight perspective, he ran the Midwest province of the Augustinians for a couple of years, and he ran the international you know, organization overseeing all the provinces, you know, for a number of years. And that I can find, there are not really that many outward signs. Again, I'm not privy to every decision and every thought. So, you know, I have to admit what I don't know. But, you know, outward signs in terms of transparency and accountability, you know, there is something lacking there under his leadership, for sure. I mean, there are certain examples of this. I mean, there was a story that we did that's now been sort of spiraling around the globe in terms of being used to criticize him, in which an accused priest from the Archdiocese of Chicago was moved into an Augustinian monastery, which was less than a block from a Catholic grade school and, frankly, across the alley from a daycare center. And he apparently signed off on this. So, allowing this, and not just that it happened, but then the school was apparently not notified about this. So things like that, and the order to, you know, that he had in theory great sway over, and still, I mean, now definitely does, was, you know, in my experience, one of the least transparent, the most secretive in terms of transparency over sex abuse. And this is not from 50 years ago. There's a guy who is still, I have outstanding questions to his order today.
Really?
That they will not answer about whether one of their accused priests is still a priest or whether he's been kicked out.
But through this investigation, you did get a chance to correspond in the past with Prevost?
Yeah. I mean, I saw his sort of ascension a few years ago, very curiously, and knew that he was from Chicago. There was a reader of the Sun-Times who knew him and suggested I reach out to him. On this issue, I found his email. I reached out to him. He got back to me, and he was very cordial. He said, if I can help, I will. I laid out a bunch of questions about sex abuse, about the secrecy in his province. And again, like the order sort of carved into geographic regions, quote unquote, provinces, which covered certain, you know, territory around the globe. And then there's sort of, you know, then they sort of report upward to the international, which is based in Rome. And he said, if I can help, I will. And I never heard back from him. I've emailed him, including today. But
I think he's a little busy.
He might be. But, you know, probably more than a dozen times and if not heard back.
Yeah.
And, you know, so and that's not unusual with the order. You know, contrast that with the Jesuits, another order. And I went to a Jesuit high school, Loyola Academy. And they were, in terms of abuse, one of the worst abusers in terms of amid this crisis. But then when they finally, quote unquote, got it together, they became one of the gold standard in terms of transparency and accountability.
Right.
And so all the other church organizations, whether it's a diocese or archdiocese, which is a geographic region of the church, or a religious order like the Augustinians or Jesuits or Dominicans or whatever, they decide for themselves what, you know, how to engage in transparency, whether to create a public list. And the Augustinians have, you know, only recently under immense pressure and criticism have done so.
Not so. This is not, you know, lots of positive messages here, but not without some issues that certainly lie beneath the surface. Let's squeeze in one last caller.
Sure.
Nicole's been waiting patiently in Piatone. Hey, Nicole, your thoughts on this on this election of a new pope?
Yes, hi. It's actually Nicole and my dad, Leon East Bear. We're from Piatone, mm-hmm. and we're very excited. The fact that he has a French last name, our last name is Easter.
Oh, so okay.
There's some selfish reasons, but we hope, you know, because he keeps talking about peace, and we hope he's an open-minded pope, and also that he lived in Peru. My sister has lived in Peru. So there's just all these connections,
right.
And we're just very excited.
Yeah, well, thank you for your call, Nicole. Nicole also added to producers that her 94-year-old dad, who she mentioned, is crying happy tears over this election. So thank you for calling and sharing that thought with us. Also want to mention, because we talked about the Cubs earlier, Carlos is a Cubs fan. Jason called in from Lockport and says, you know, hopefully the Pope can get the Cubs into the World Series. Maybe you'll be right, Jason.
Let's hope not.
We've been talking with you and with Chicago Sun-Times investigative reporter Bob Hergeth about the new Pope, Pope Leo XIV, the first American Pope and the first with Chicago roots. Robert Prevost grew up in Dalton in Chicago's south suburbs. Thank you to everyone who gave us a call. If you would still like to share your thoughts about the new Pope or perhaps your hopes for what he might do as the new leader of the Catholic Church, leave us a voicemail at 312-948-4822. 312-948-4822. Thanks for listening.